Great. I'm going to read our Bible reading this morning, and it's from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through to 8. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We have the pleasure this morning of Louis coming to speak to us. Louis, do you want to come on up? And I'll introduce, should we give him a Christchurch welcome? I'll pray for you in a minute, but just to say, it's great to have you with us. Louis has served in intercultural churches in South Africa, United Arab Emirates, and you're here now, which is fantastic. So, great to have you here, and I'll pray for you now. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for Louis, and we pray for him right now. Lord, would you fill him with your spirit? May he know your heartbeat as he speaks. May he know your words. And Lord, all the preparation that he's done, I pray that you'd use that to speak to each one of us. Lord, where he's given out already this morning, would you strengthen him, fill him with your energy and your ability. And Lord, would you help us to really listen and hear from you this morning. Hear where you want to encourage us, where you want to challenge us, that we might go from here just changed, having grown in you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lorraine. Good morning, friends.
Morning.
There we go. Many of you would know, I just came from Parkway, and you gave just as warm a welcome as they did, so thank you so much. No competition there. Now, let's just address the elephant in the room, my accent. As I am 100% a South African, and this is the accent. Hello, guys. Nice to see you. This is the accent that the Lord has blessed me with. So I'm hoping you'll enjoy it, and if you don't, I hope you'll bear with it. It's really good for me to be here with you this morning, and I'm going to do my best to stand right here, because I am very much a mover when I talk, so I'm going to do my best to anchor myself here. Now, as a church, you're about to begin a sermon or a series on the Lord's Prayer, something that I hope will excite you immensely. I think it's words that are familiar to many of us, and what is encouraging about the Lord's Prayer is that many generations of Christians who came before us has prayed these words in an attempt to encounter God, to draw near to God. But before Jesus teaches us what to pray, he takes a step back and he teaches us how to pray, or even more than that, who we are when we pray. Now, in my preparation for this morning's sermon, I came across Paul's words to the believers in Rome, in Romans 12, which is one of the most beautiful, practical chapters in our Bibles. But he gives us this beautiful instruction. He says, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and then, concerning our topic this morning, be faithful in prayer. Now, I found it's best to give you guys a road map of our time together. I've got a little four-year-old, so we don't want any of those are we there yet moments throughout the sermon, right? So I'll give you a bit of a road map so you know these are the places that we're going to pass by on our journey together this morning. And it makes things a little bit more predictable. Then you don't have to wonder where we're going. You can enjoy the sights and take it in on our journey as we go along. So in the next, let's say about 18 to 20 minutes, we're going to visit these 5 points as we journey together on becoming the kind of people who pray. So our first stop, we're going to see that prayer is about encountering God It's not about performance. It's one of the first things that you're going to feel a moment of release. It's such an encouraging thing to know that it's not about performance. It's all about encountering God. And hopefully, as we journey together this morning, you're not going to have a lot of new ideas or big epiphanies. Hopefully, you're going to have moments of, yes, brother. That's what we're talking about. So it's hopefully something that's going to be familiar. The second thing we're going to see is that we're going to find that we can look like we're praying, and yet we can still miss God in that, which is a weird thing, because you're praying to God, but you can still miss God in this whole process. At our third stop, we're going to see that God already knows what we need. And that's some of the best news that we know. It's that we can get. He desires a relationship with us, not perfection. And it's so encouraging to know that. Now, our second to last stop, we're going to go to Jesus. And we're going to learn from his rhythms, daily rhythms of prayer life, in private and shared prayer. So if you want to know how to encounter God, Jesus is the place to go, right? I'm going to get a bit of a nod. Yes. Okay. And then finally, completing our journey together this morning, we're going to see that prayer doesn't just change our situation, but it changes us. And I'm so excited to get to that point where the change happens. And then we're going to get very practical as well. So like I said, I'm excited to take this journey with you this morning. Let's get going. Now this morning is a bit of a before we begin moment. Before we say our Father, we need to ask this question, what kind of people are we as we come to pray? Because like I said, prayer is not about words, which is a misconception that we often have. It's all about what we say. It's not about the words. It's about encountering God. And if you haven't heard that in the three times I already mentioned it, bear with me, you're going to hear it five more times at least in the next couple of minutes. Now, for some of us, it might be unfamiliar. You might not be somebody who has been praying a lot or for a long time. Maybe you are somebody who's been a follower of Christ for a long time, but prayer still sometimes feel a little bit awkward. If I ask you now to stand up and lead us in a prayer, some of you might feel a little bit awkward, a little bit intimidated, a little bit, no, right? That moment, if I ask people, who wants to pray? That's the easiest way to figure out where the ground is. Everybody's like, immediately, and praying. Lord, please don't let him ask me. Please, Lord. Right? So prayer might feel intimidating. Prayer might feel awkward. And that is exactly why we look to Jesus as we are confronted with this question. He begins not with pressure, but with invitation. And what a wonderful thing to know. So let's look together at the words of Jesus. We're going to be looking, thank you Lorraine for reading the passage. It's good to hear the whole passage together. And now we're going to read little bits of it as we go along. So let's look again to verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Now just notice that word hypocrites. It's the idea of someone acting, someone wearing a mask and playing a part, right? And what Jesus is saying here is that it is possible to pray and yet not be real when you're praying. To look and sound right and even to use the right words and yet be missing God in the process. Now, it's helpful to understand the world that Jesus is speaking into. So Jewish culture at this stage, prayer happened at set times during the day. Now, my wife and I had the privilege of living in the UAE for the last 8 years, and we saw a similar rhythm with our Muslim brothers and sisters who were living in our community. Throughout specific times during the day, people would be praying. So you could be riding on the freeway, and people would just pull off to the side of the road, take out their prayer mat, and pray. And it's very weird if you see it the first time, right? So in first century Judaism, you would have the same thing happening. Prayer happened at certain times, and as you go about your day, you would just step to the side when it's time to pray and you'd pray, and then you would go on with your day. Now, Tim Mackey from Bible Project explains this really well. He says what people were doing at that time is they were positioning themselves so that when the time for prayer comes, they are in a certain public place, right? So that when the time comes to pray, let's say I'm just walking about to the Aldi, right up the street, I'll just make sure there's a busy corner here that when prayer time comes, that I'm on the corner there where my peers and my friends will see me when I'm praying. And then people will say, my word, that Louis, he's such a good Jew. Hey, did you see him praying? I mean, in the middle of everything, he just stopped, went to the side, and the words, you should hear the words that came out of his mouth. Chef's kiss, beautiful. Such a good Jew, right? And when they prayed to be seen. And it means the issue that Jesus is addressing here isn't praying in public. We know that Jesus himself prayed in public, right? So the issue that Jesus is addressing is that these people are praying to be seen rather than to see God. They are praying to be encountered themselves rather than encountering God. You can see the movement there. Now, the thing that Jesus is warning us about is that prayer for us can have a similar thing. It can slowly over time become something that we do. It's just another thing that we do. It's something that we say, and it's something that can look right on the outside, but on the inside, something is missing. That connection isn't there. Now, let me put it simply. It is possible to say many prayers and yet never meet God. We always at the seminary, we always had this thing of saying, just because you're standing in a bakery doesn't mean you're a bread. Right? So you can do all the right things and yet miss it. You can pray for many years and never really have an encounter with God. Now, I would like to tell you a story about the happy couple. Yeah, perfect, to the handheld. Right, there we go. All good? Buckle up, here we go. So I would like to now, for some reason, I feel like I should move more now. I'd like to tell you a story about the happy couple. And I in the previous sermon, I used two actual people. I'd like you now just to imagine that there's a couple standing here next to me, and they have been married for 15 years, and they want to grow deeper in their relationship. And now for the next 2 weeks, they are giving me control of their relationship to shepherd them in growing closer to one another. Okay? Now imagine yourself, if you want to do this with me, you're welcome to ask me afterwards. I'll shepherd you closer together as well. So how it's going to work is my brother here next to me, he can speak to his wife 2 to 3 times a day for 5 minutes, and she is not allowed to talk back. I can see a bunch of the guys going, ooh, getting ideas here. It sounds good at the minute. Okay, so 2 to 3 times a day, obviously they can sense each other's presence during the day as they move past one another and all of that, but 2 to 3 times a day they can talk to one another. Well, not to one another. He can talk to her, and she's not allowed to talk back. But don't worry, I didn't forget about the ladies. Once a week, she can speak to him, but for a whole hour. Okay? And, you guessed it, he's not allowed to talk back. Right, ladies? Good? Yeah? And that's how it's going to work for the next 2 weeks. Now, who of you think this couple's relationship is going to last another 20 years? No hands. Okay. 20 months. Do I have 20 months? 20 months. No 20 months. 20 days? No, it's not going to work. Why is it not going to work, family? Because even though they're communicating, there's no connection there. They're talking at one another, but they're never talking with one another. And I hope you saw how I sneaked this in this morning, because this is oftentimes how our relationship with the Lord works. Maybe 1 or 2 times during the day, we'll take 5 minutes, and we'll talk to the Lord, and then we've got stuff to do because life happens. And then we continue on with our day. So we don't really have time to listen. But at least God knows, he's on my page. We know, he knows what's going on. And then once a week, we'll come to a gathering much like this. And hopefully, God willing, you would hear his voice coming toward you for about an hour. But then there's coffee to drink and there's community to be had. So there's not, and usually the guy standing in front, he doesn't really give you guys a gap to have a chat, right? So that's, and I think what can happen with our prayers, it can become like that. It's words that we exchange, but there's no closeness there. It's just words that we exchange. It's just emotion that we go through. And what Jesus is inviting us is into back into something deeper than this. Deeper than just going through the motions. Now let's look again at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Let's just start by saying it's not about the location. Just like with the hypocrites, the issue wasn't public prayer. It was the way they postured themselves. And here again, it's not about the location. It's all about heart. It's all about the way that you posture yourself when you draw near to Jesus. And I think what Jesus is saying, if you position yourself, make sure it's at your house. If you're going to position yourself and time yourself to be somewhere, if you want to pray, then be at your house. And not even just at your house, go into your room and close the door. No distractions, only presence. Prayer is meant to be personal, real, and relational. It's not about performance. And that's true whether you're new to prayer or if you've been praying to the Lord for decades. It's a level playing ground. It's the same for all of us. Now let's keep going. In verse 7, we see, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words." Now, again, a bit of context helps us here to know what Jesus is talking about. Praying for attention, friends, was a common thing, and dare I say it still is. If people weren't praying to catch the attention of the people around them, they were trying to pray to catch God's attention. And what happened in the first century of Christian life, we often see the same thing as well. People came to believe that the more they prayed, the more words they prayed, the more impact it would have. So it's all about the amount of words and then also the quality of the words. If I'm persistent enough and I say the right words, it will influence God's decision. And just think about how we approach prayer today. Oftentimes, these things are embedded underneath our ideas of thinking about prayer. But what Jesus says is, don't think more words means more impact. Don't think that if you say enough words or say them in the right way, that somehow God will respond differently. And then, friends, there's this beautiful line in verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Let's just pause there for a moment. Your Father knows. And that changes everything. Because that means we're not informing God. Right? When I'm praying, I'm not informing God. I'm not persuading God. Because he already knows what I need. He already knows what I desire. And even more than that, we're certainly not performing for God. I don't have to perform to get his attention. And something that I've just been reminded of is that even more than this, God's desire to connect with you will always be bigger and greater than our desire to connect with him. Always. God's desire to connect with you will always be greater than your desire to connect with him. So prayer, friends, is not us trying to get God's attention. It is responding to a God who is already attentive to us. God already knows. It's such good news. Now, to put it differently, prayer is not about getting God on our page, as we so often think. It's all about stepping into His presence. Now, at this point, I wanted to ask you to think of your relationship with your father. But I realize that people have very different relationships with their fathers, and fathers are often, more than not, flawed human beings. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to introduce you to my little family. So if you can get that next slide on for me, then I can show you my beautiful family. There you go. That's the, if you're wondering, cue the aww moment. Right, so this is my little tribe. You'll see Rajan there. She's the beautiful one in the picture. And then there's a little one, that's Otto. And not that it was a contest, but these are my two favorite people in the world. And also, it's no contest, either way. So, but having showed them to you now, I want to invite you to think of a relationship between a child and a loving father. Okay, so I'm going to use my relationship with my little boy in this example. Now, when Otto wants to talk to me, he doesn't need perfect words. He's four, almost. He's still learning the words. And the ones he has are far from perfect, right? So he doesn't have to come with perfect words. He doesn't have to come with long explanations. Mind you, he doesn't care. He brings long explanations anyway, but he doesn't have to. I tell him often. And also, he doesn't have to use impressive language. Because he doesn't have to impress me to get my attention. He doesn't have to perform for Daddy to get his attention. All that he needs to do is to come. Sometimes simply, sometimes clumsily, but honestly. That's all that he needs to do. And that, friends, is what Jesus is saying prayer is like. Like that relationship. Even when I stumble on my words and it sounds clumsily and even in a South African accent, I can come to the Lord and He accepts me there and He meets me there. Now, this is so important as we prepare for our next series going into it because, and cue again, I said you're going to hear it a couple more times, before Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, He reshapes our understanding of prayer itself. Okay, so Jesus moves us from performance into relationship. And more than that, He's moving us from formula to connection. Because I think thinking of the Lord's Prayer, that's oftentimes where we can miss it. We can think, okay, now we've got a blueprint that we can just tick all the boxes and then magically we'll connect with God. And what God is saying is move away from formula to connection. So as we then come to the Lord's Prayer in the next couple of weeks, we don't want to see it as something that we repeat, just words that we repeat. We want to see it as something that forms us, that shapes us. Now, part of our vision this year, and I've been lucky to have a look at your vision for this next year, and a part of that vision is to be people who are led by Jesus, who are formed to look like Jesus, and then people who lead other people to Jesus. And when we look at prayer this morning, what makes this so powerful is that Jesus didn't just teach these things. He lived it. Right? Now, if you want to learn how to encounter God, then we need to look at the way that Jesus did it. Now, throughout the Gospels, we see that He prayed in community. Now, Jesus regularly prayed with His disciples. And what He was doing is inviting others into shared dependence on the Father. So Luke 9, that's one of the many examples that we have of where Jesus is doing this. The other way that we see Him, other rhythm of life that He had with prayer, that is that He prayed in public gatherings. Just take your mind to the feeding of the 5,000. What was the first thing that Jesus did before He dished out the food to the disciples to hand it out to the crowd? He gave thanks. And what He was doing is He was modeling prayer in the presence of crowds for us. And then probably the biggest part of Jesus' prayer rhythms that we see is that He prayed in solitude. It was part of His daily rhythm. Again and again, we see Jesus withdrawing to a lonely place to be alone with the Father. And what He's doing is He's cultivating a deep, undistracted intimacy with the Father. He's realigning Himself with his father. And then we see lastly that he prayed in critical moments. So before major decisions and times of deep distress, Jesus turned to prayer. And he was anchoring his life in the Father as he was realigning himself with the Father's will. Now, simply put, friends, Jesus could stand with confidence in public because he learned to be still in private. And if we look to Jesus as the example of how to do it, if we want to be able to stand with confidence in public, we will need to learn these life rhythms of being still in private. Now, like I said, if that was true for Jesus, it raises the question for us, where does prayer fit into the daily rhythms of my life? And I want you to sit with that for a moment. Where does prayer fit into the daily rhythms of your life? We've seen what big part it played in the life of Jesus. So where does it fit into your life? And I think a good question we need to ask is, because what does this mean for us here and now then? Because when we truly start to encounter God through prayer, something in us starts to slowly shift. Slowly over time, our perspective starts to change. We see things differently as we align ourselves with God's will. Our desires begin to change as we start wanting what God wants. And more than that, and this is something that I'm most excited about, our identity deepens. Because we don't come to God as performance, trying to give a good performance to get his attention. We come to God as children. And that's a whole different dynamic. And lastly, our dependence grows as we stop carrying everything alone. We don't have to carry everything on our shoulders. We've got a loving Father who's waiting for us to connect with him, to have an encounter with him. And this is so important to hold on to then. Prayer is not always going to change your situation. But as you encounter God, it will always start to change you. I'm going to give you a moment with that. Prayer might not always change your situation. But having encountered God, you will always start to change you. So what might change in your situation is you and your perspective. And your desires, wanting to align with God's will. So let's make this really practical, right? We're going to get at the end, we're going to get to a place where we make it really practical. We're here now. Wherever you are on your journey of faith, here's a simple invitation I want to give to you to work into your daily rhythms this week. And you can start today. So open your phone and in your diary, write down 1-5-1. It's what I'm calling it. 1 minute, 1 place, 5 minutes, and 1 honest prayer. 1-5-1. So in this week coming, write it down in your diary a couple of times during the day. Just do a 1-5-1. And we can work it into our vernacular. And when we see each other, did you do a 1-5-1? Right? Okay. No pressure, only presence. I was testing you. So try to work this in your daily rhythms this week. Find a place, keep it simple, and keep it honest. No pressure, no performance, just presence. Now, before I close, I'd like to invite you to take a quiet moment. You do not have to say anything out loud. I'd like to invite you to close your eyes, and where you sit, perhaps you might pray this simple prayer with me. God, help me to encounter you in prayer. I might not always know the perfect words to say, but I want to have a connection with you, Lord. Amen. So friends, as we step into this series together, let's remember. Just one last time. Get it in. If you're anything like me, you need to have things said to you again and again and again so you can remember it again. Before Jesus teaches us the words of the prayer, he invites us into a life of prayer. And that invitation is open to each and every one of us this morning. Doesn't matter where you are on your faith journey. Now I'm going to invite the band to come up as we pray together. So we can sing a song that I think harmonizes well with what we've learned together in our short time that we spent together this morning. So I'd like to invite you to close your eyes again and let's just finish in a prayer. Father, thank you that you invite us into a relationship with you. Teach us, Lord, to seek you, not just in moments of need, but in the daily rhythms of our lives. Shape our hearts, Lord. Align our desires with yours and draw us deeper into dependence on you. May our lives be marked by your prayer and our prayer by your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.